Okay, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Psalm 119. I've announced I'm going to preach now on the subject of your pastor's prayer for you in 2019, and so this is my message. And by the way, it's the same message, the same prayer I had for you in 2018 and 17, and every year there heretofore. It's a message that we need to be reminded of, and it's my prayer for you, for myself, for our people, for my family. And it's expressed pretty well in Psalm 119, verse 81, "My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word." My prayer for you and for all of us is that we will make much of God's word this year. This is, like Psalmist said, this is where our hope is. Our hope. We faint for his deliverance, his salvation. Sometimes we faint, but we always hope in the word of God. It gives us great hope. So, I'm sorry I don't have a PowerPoint, but these are very simple points, and I want you to get them. So if you got something to write, take a little outline on, I would encourage you to do that. Very simple, but very important too. Number one, we must hope in the word of God. And the way to do it is to read God's word regularly. Read it regularly. I mean every day. In fact, if you read it 10 minutes a day, maybe at the most 12 minutes a day, every day this year, you would read the Bible through. Just a few minutes every day. I read somewhere that if you read every word on the front page of a newspaper, say like the New York Times, it's 3,000 words approximately. You have read the equivalent of 24 of the shortest books of the Bible. So that's 24 out of 69. Now, there are some books that are longer. They're not all real short, but that just kind of gives you perspective. If you started at midnight this evening and read till, let's see, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday midnight, you would have read the Bible just about through, so just concentrated. And I did have a professor say once that he read the Bible that way, not in 3 days, but as quickly as he could. It was a short amount of time, weeks maybe, instead of a whole year. And he got a new appreciation for the Word. And I've never done that myself. Maybe it's a goal that I'd like to do sometimes, just to read it from start to finish in as rapidly a time as I could, feasibly. And maybe it would be days or weeks at the most, maybe. But you would have a different understanding of the Bible if you read it that way. It is a one whole, one composite book, and it's to be read that way. But certainly, it's to be read regularly. Look in Psalm 119, verse 9. You are familiar with this verse. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." So taking heed to the word of God and not wandering from his commandments. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And every word in this great psalm, it just highlights the necessity, the importance of reading the word of God and reading it regularly. I supposed I knew my Bible, reading piecemeal, hit and miss. Now a bit of John or Matthew, now a bit of Genesis. Certain chapters of Isaiah, certain Psalms, the 23rd, 12th of Romans, 1st of Proverbs. Yes, I thought I knew the word, but I found a thorough reading was a different thing to do. And the way was unfamiliar as I read the Bible through. "Ye who treat the crown of writings as you treat no other book, just a paragraph disjointed, just a crude, impatient look, try a worthier procedure. Try a broad and steady view. You will kneel in very rapture as you read the Bible through." Somebody wrote poetically, and it's true, I think. It's a great book to read. It's a must reading, the Bible, regularly. So every day, another person said, "The Bible is like an extensive garden where there's a great variety of flowers, some of which are more essential and more beautiful and more appealing than others, but there's not a blade of grass suffer to grow in it which has not its use and beauty in the scriptural sense." So in other words, those passages that seem to be difficult and cumbersome to read and maybe dull compared to other passages, there's a purpose in them. Not a blade of grass is suffered to grow in it which has not its use and beauty. And that's the way it is with Scripture too, just like a garden that has purpose for everything. If you never get through the Bible, it's probably a good assumption that the Bible's never gotten through you. So it's read it regularly. By the way, we have these booklets here. They're on the table. A daily Bible reading calendar. I don't know how many of you use these. I think many of you do. But it gives you a portion to read every single day. Old Testament, a couple chapters. A chapter in the Proverbs and Psalms every day. And then a New Testament, a couple chapters. Now, sometimes I don't do the, some years I do that just that way, but sometimes I will just do the Old Testament portion and the Psalms and Proverbs every month. And that way you'll read through the Old Testament and you'll read through the Psalms and Proverbs 12 times. Sometimes, and then I'll switch it off and do the New Testament the next time. Sometimes just do the whole. So whatever way you do it. By the way, there's extras of these. So if you have a friend that you'd like to take one to, feel free. We've got plenty. Take some of these and give them out as just gifts to some of your friends. Elizabeth Barrett Browning, the accomplished poetess, had parents that so strongly disapproved of her marriage to Robert Browning that they actually disowned her. Almost every week for years, Elizabeth wrote love letters to her parents and never received any acknowledgement that they had gotten the letters. After 10 years of letter writing, Elizabeth received a box in the mail, kind of a large box, and she opened it up, and to her dismay and to her heartbreak, every one of her letters that she'd written to her parents were there unopened, unread. Not one of them had even been opened. Today, those love letters, it is said, are some of the most beautiful expressions in classical English literature. But my, they were intended for her mom and dad, and they didn't even read them. Love letters written by a daughter whose heart was full of love for her parents and who wanted nothing more than reconciliation with them over the years. By the way, God's written a love letter to you, the Word of God, to show you His heart and His purpose and His plan. And if we go week after week and year after year without even opening His letter, it's as great a sin as her parents did to her. Read it every day. Read it regularly. Second, read it. Study the Word of God. Study God's Word seriously. Number one, read it regularly. Two, study it seriously. That verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2 is one that you are familiar with. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What a great verse that is. So it's a command that we need to study the Word of God. Now, there's different ways of doing that. You can join a Bible study. Some of us meet, a few men meet every Tuesday morning at the Panera Bread. We've taken a few weeks off for the holidays, but we've been meeting there. And we read a book, not necessarily the Bible, but we read a book based on Scripture. We discuss it. But I bring that up to tell you this. It's very encouraging to see young people, teenagers evidently, high school students coming in at 6 o'clock in the morning on a weekday, gathering in huddles or around a table of 8 or 10 or 12 of them, studying the Bible. Sometimes you see two men, sometimes more less often, maybe a couple ladies, but sometimes two men or three men. But it's regularly you see. And during the school year, when school's in session, you see a group of teenagers studying the Bible, high school, probably public high school students. That's a great thing. You can join a Bible study class. You can teach a class. That's one of the best ways to study the Bible, is to get your class to teach. You say, well, is there an opening? Well, we'll make one. If you want to teach, we'll find a class. We'll make a class. Because that's the best way to get into the Word of God, is to have the responsibility of preparing to teach. And by the way, the teacher, we have much more out of it than the student. So you can teach a class, you can join a Bible study, you can listen to gifted Bible teachers. We are blessed. And all of them, I would not endorse all of their men, but I am blessed by some of their teaching to no end, and I don't get to listen to much of it. But a snatch here and a snatch there. And on my day off, Ellen has the radio on. She listens to certain messages regularly, certain ministries. And I listen too and sit down sometimes just in a blessed few minutes to soak in the Word of God from Bible teachers that have been gifted, that are gifted teachers and given to the church. And then they have these mediums whereby they can reach the masses, multitudes of people. And some of them are certainly teachers you wouldn't want to listen to at all, but some of them are godly, tested, truthful Bible teachers who committed to the inerrancy of the Word of God. And that's those kinds, they may not call themselves Baptist even, but I can listen to them and I can be blessed by them. And I just want to thank the Lord for it. By the way, we have an access to what we call sermonaudio.com, and you might, I think it's on our bulletin. We advertise it. It's a service whereby on Mondays, usually Julia puts our, it's taped. Most of the regular services are Sunday services, not Wednesday. But the messages are taped. She will edit them just a little bit for mass distribution. If I make a personal reference or something, I don't like to do that. But it goes out then to Sermon Audio, and they have a network of people. And I got a December report. I want to share it with you. It was on the midweek news flash. You might not have read it, and some of you didn't. So here it is. In December, we get a report every month of how many downloads there were. And December was a good month. We had 745 MP3 downloads of our messages preached in this pulpit. Now, it's not just this past week. They have a total of 837 messages that they've recorded. They're putting out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the pulpit of Thompson Road. So you, in the list, they give you a list of the 10 top most listened to, and then they give you a list of all those that were listened to in the month. Then they give you a listing of the countries that the messages went to. And in December, 25 foreign countries. Now, it might have been one in each country, but there's usually more than one in some countries. And then in 43 different states. So that is a tremendous way to get the Bible out. And by the way, it's a way that you could tune in sermonaudio.com, not only listen to our messages, but messages of good preachers, not only current, contemporary, but of yesteryear that they have recordings of. So we're just blessed indeed to have access to these opportunities to study the Bible. Study it on your own, but sometimes we grow weary, and it seems to be more inspiring maybe to study it in a group. And so a good way to do this, come Wednesday night, prayer meeting. And I thank God for Wana, our teachers, teaching young people, and our youth ministry. Pastor Joel has excellent, and his staff, excellent lessons for our young people to learn, and we just praise the Lord for that. Number two, study God's Word seriously. Number three, share God's Word faithfully. Share it faithfully. What do I mean by that? I mean, I've got six things. I like alliteration, so that each one begins with C, so here they go, and you don't have to take these down, but if you want to, you get. Number one, be creative. Sharing the Word of God, be creative. Now, I don't mean when you go to the restroom, sticking a track up in a urinal somewhere where the next guy's going to have to look at it, or somewhere like that. I don't mean that. There are creative ways to share the Word of God. You could share. We have some tip tracks over there in the hallway. They have the Bible or some verses on them. Take some of those, and when you tip a waitress or leave a tip. By the way, don't leave a 50-cent tip on a $25 ticket bill. That's a shame. And I know none of you would do that, but I had to say that anyway. Be generous. At least be respectful to give a tip when you have good service. Katie Richards is the daughter of the Krugers. Kelvin Kruger's sister is Katie Richards. She's married to a preacher. They live in Colorado. She has a ministry called Beautiful Spirit. And she puts out a blog to women. She did put a magazine out monthly, but she's gone to just a blog. And she sends it out to Ellen. And so as I scroll through the emails, I see her name and I'm interested, because usually though it's designed for women, it doesn't hurt a man to look in and see what women are thinking about and what's on their minds and what's on their hearts. So I do that, and she just got one the other day, and it began with Acts 2, verses 14 to 41. And I think it was entitled, "What is Your Power? What is Your Power?" And of course, she alluded to that passage. In fact, she quoted most of the passage. It was a long quote. And then she had an application. So a creative way. You might not be able to start a blog. Maybe you could. A creative way to share the Word of God consistently. Be consistent. Don't just do it once in a blue moon, but make it a habit of sharing God's Word in some way. Ray back here, he wouldn't mind me saying this, works for the Marion County Prosecutor's Office. It's his, I don't know if that's his day job or night job. I think it's both day and night. But he was just telling me, as he processes people through the court system, and he gets a lot of troubled people and a lot of people that are just in confusion and in crisis. And he often says, and he says, "I say this with people walking by, Jesus loves you. Just remember, Jesus loves you." And the prosecutor may walk by, and his assistant, some lawyers, and he doesn't care. He just says, "Remember, Jesus loves you." Well, that's, and he says it often, he says, so consistently and creatively, he shares the Word of God with somebody. Be considerate. Be considerate. I told our Sunday school class, and maybe last Wednesday, but many of you weren't in either one, so I've got to repeat this, folks. I'll make it brief. That Matt Barnes had a meeting down at the State House Thursday, and we were privileged to go there, some of us, and he had some of the state legislators, and he had the governor, and he had the Supreme Court Justice lead in prayer, praying for wisdom. This was at 12 noon Thursday. The sessions began at 1:30, so it's the first thing they did, some of them. 400 or 500 people like ourselves and others just gathered to be there, to be a part of it, not to participate, but just to observe and to join in prayer with these leaders. The last one that prayed was our governor. And as the last few people prayed, there was a group of people that encircled the rotunda. There's a second floor and it encircles the rotunda area. We had seen them on the front steps coming in, and they had signs protesting abortion. We stopped and took some of the literature, I did at least, and they said, be sure to get your legislator to vote for in a certain bill, and they didn't know the number, it wasn't assigned yet, but they said, so we were for that. That's a good, we're pro-life, and we are against abortion, killing babies. Great cause, we appreciate them standing on the steps of the State House trying to get the message out. But during the prayer meeting, they had come into the building and encircled on the second floor the prayer meeting. And while somebody was coming to pray, after Matt Barnes announced the next person to pray, on the last two or three people, they read a verse. And I want to read the verse they read. And so everybody, after the introduction, is waiting for the next person to pray. So there's 10 or 15 seconds where there's dead silence. And during that dead silence, somebody upstairs with a megaphone would read a verse, and it would be, I'm sure it was Proverbs 28 and verse 9. And here's the verse that they read. Proverbs 28 and 9. "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." And they did it two or three times, I think even before the governor prayed. "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law." So evidently they had maybe done some research, got a program ahead of time, and realized that maybe this guy, although he's praying, he might not be a Christian in their belief or their judgment. And so, or he's maybe got a voting record that's not pro-life, and so they're going to expose him, and so they do so in this sacred moment, really, when we're waiting for somebody to pray and lead in prayer and ask God to bless, and then you hear from upstairs this verse, "Even his prayer is an abomination." That was not a considerate thing to do. They didn't organize the rally. Their cause was just. Their cause was good. We were for their cause. We're pro-life, we're anti. But to use an occasion that somebody else has organized And to interrupt a prayer meeting with even a verse of scripture in the way that they did it was rude and inconsiderate. And I told them so. I found some. By the way, Matt Barnes, and I wrote him an email the next day to commend him. Matt Barnes was gracious enough to not rebuke them, which I probably would have if I'd got the microphone. But he even fed them. There were sandwiches and tea offered to people. I saw many of them eating sandwiches provided by Capitol Commission, headed by Matt Barnes. And while a couple of them were eating sandwich, I walked over and said, you know what you did, we agree with you, but it was rude to do that. We don't need to do that, to share the Word of God, to get the truth as you see it out. That was inconsiderate. So be considerate, be conscientious in giving out the Word of God. Conscientious. Realize words have meaning, and meaning has impact. And so give an appropriate tract. I know there are some tracts that just are designed to get people's attention. What do you have to do to go to hell and open the... It's just a blank. Well, that's okay. But just be conscientious about, you know, who you give the tract to. When we were in our marriage younger, and our kids were 7, 8, 9 maybe, we left them with some relatives for an overnight trip we made, and our relatives took the kids to see The Burning Hell. Remember that movie? How many of you remember that? Well, if you ever saw it, you remember. Now, it told the truth, but it was graphic. It was awful. I've never seen it, but I've seen clips of it. I've seen pictures of people going into hell, gasping. And no doubt it made an impact, but our kids never got over that. I don't think they've ever forgiven us for leaving them with relatives all night. I hope they have. But be considerate. Okay, enough for that, I'm thinking. Be careful is the last thing. Let's go to the next, number four. Number one, read God's Word regularly. Number two, read it seriously. Number three, share God's Word faithfully. Number four, believe God's Word sincerely. Believe God's Word sincerely. That's the only reason we would want to read it, because we believe it. We want to know what God wants. And I think of Daniel and his friends when they were in captivity. They believed it sincerely. It has so changed their lives that they were willing to take a stand, and they were willing to die, fiery furnace, because of what they believed about the Word of God. So we just need to believe it sincerely. Paul the Apostle was another example in Acts chapter 25. He was on trial, and he said this: if I be an offender, they accused him of things that were not true. And Paul said, if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. In other words, he said, I believe in capital punishment. And if I'm guilty of a capital crime, I am not going to oppose being put to death, because he believed God's word sincerely. And he said so. And he says, but if there be none of these things wherever they accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal to Caesar. So believing God's word sincerely is what we need to do. We need to be sincere. And if we have a conviction, have a conviction, but have it based upon the Word of God. And don't just believe it or practice it around certain people. That's my next point. Practice God's Word consistently. I won't even go to the passage, but in Galatians chapter 2, Paul said, I had to rebuke Peter, because when he was with Gentiles, he ate with them. But when Jews came down from Jerusalem to see what was going on, he said he removed himself from the Gentiles that he had eaten with, and looked upon them as though they were doing wrong. And Paul said, I rebuked Peter to his face. And his dissimulation was so strong that even Barnabas, as strong as he was, followed Peter over and did the same thing. So he said, that's not practicing God's word consistently. You're just going to practice on certain occasions or with certain groups of people. Practice it consistently. Have convictions that you can base on the Word of God, and you don't have to alter them or change them for situations. Number six, and lastly, obey God's Word genuinely. obey his word genuinely. Go to 19, Psalm 19, please. And this is a great passage, you know it. But Psalm 19 says this. Let the words of my mouth. I remember a little old lady that used to come here from a nursing home, Katie Harris. Some of you remember her in Frieda Cross. Katie sat, they'd sit right where Harry and Mary sitting every service. And almost every Sunday, they would have two things to say when I would see them. Number one, Frieda would say, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Couldn't argue with that, could you? And she was a little old lady in a nursing home that had nothing of this world's goods and had a simple mind and a simple education, I'm sure, but she knew enough about God to know that he made this day and we're going to rejoice in it. She was smarter than a lot of people I know. And little Katie said this. She said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Those little ladies sitting here heard me preach week after week for years until they couldn't come any longer. I remember once in February, we had a Valentine's dinner over here in the fellowship hall. And little Katie, she lives up in the nursing home at Thompson Road and 31, walked to the meeting we were having. It was cold February. Walked to the meeting we were having. At her own peril, nobody, she shouldn't have, we didn't encourage her to, but she did, somehow got out of the nursing home and walked down here just to be with God's people. I would never encourage her, endorse anyone to do that, but I want to say the Spirit was right. She loved the Lord Jesus. Those little ladies ministered to this preacher's heart year after year after year. So we need to obey God's word genuinely. That is, your words, let the words of my mouth, your ways, the meditation of my heart that will affect how I walk and work, your works, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my God and my Redeemer. May their tribe increase, by the way, Katie and Frieda. I'm sure they're with the Lord now, but may their tribe increase. Lillian Helm was 91 years of age, and she read her Bible an hour every day in the nursing home, and some of her friends said, "Lillian, why are you reading that every day? You don't even remember what you read. What good does it do, Lillian?" And she said, "Well, my cup runneth over." She said, "I'm not concerned about my memory. I just do the reading, and God does the remembering." We just need to do the reading. It's my prayer for you, for me, for our church in 2019, that we will make much of the Word of God. We can't make too much of it. Father in heaven, thank you for the verses that we've been reminded of, the principles. We've all known these things and been reminded of them year after year after year after year. I preached these messages 40 years here, and before that, other years, other places. Same message, just altered somewhat, but the same message. Read the Bible, make much of it. Read it regularly. Read it all the way through. Sometimes it's good for you. Be consistent. Study it. Share it. Obey it. Live by it. No new message, just an old message, but so important as we face another year. So important. Help us to remember it. Help us to heed it. Help us to do it for Jesus' sake. Help us to make much of your wonderful, wonderful word. Help us not to do what Elizabeth's parents did and just not open it day after day, week after week. Week after week, month after month, help us not to do that, Lord. Help us to open it, expecting that when we do, with an open heart and clean heart, you're going to speak personally to us by your Spirit. It's powerful, the Word of God is. It's powerful. And it'll teach us and instruct us and cause us to rejoice and will increase our hope as we wait for your salvation, your deliverance, it will increase and intensify our hope we have in you and your promises. We pray this, I pray this, as pastor of this wonderful people, this church, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a hymnal tonight and turn in a hymn book and sing just a closing hymn of consecration.